The Level Down Games podcast for April 20th, 2021 is presented by leveldowngames.com. Having a baby.
Yeah, I am having a baby. For those that did not see the announcement live on twitch.tv/crazed11 on Tuesday, my wife is pregnant. We are expecting sometime in November.
Yep. Teach him how to spectate early, Dan.
Teach him how to spectate early.
If he gets his gaming habits off of you, teach him how to spectate early.
I think Shadow had already said he's already going to be, the baby will already be better at Warzone than I am.
Yeah, probably not that hard.
Exactly. I have not set a high bar, so this child is not in good hands.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the Level Down Games Podcast. Welcome home. For the uninitiated, the LDG Podcast is a weekly breakfast powwow amongst the crew at Level Down Games. Still need to change that now that we're recording it at night on a Friday. I am your host, Brian, and joining me on the show this evening, I guess you're just the curator now of the Crazed 11 brand over there on Twitch, and still found on leveldowngames.com. And hopefully more episodes of the Level Down Game Podcast. It's Dan.
Yes, I am back. I kind of just went a little radio silent for 2 weeks, just figuring shit out and doing shit around my house and my mother-in-law's house, and it's just been a bit of crazy time. Plus, my job is just fucking stupid. Fingers crossed, I have applied for a job that's 410, so I'm really hoping I get that and free up an extra day to do a little more content creating. So, yeah, I'm back, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good to get you back on the show this week. Well, because otherwise it would have been a solo podcast, and those are never fun to do, so I'm glad we were able to make this happen. Sean is currently unavailable, and Kyle is out of town this week, so we miss them both, and they will likely be back next week, but that's okay, because Kyle and I pre-recorded something that we're going to put in the podcast here in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, yeah, special shout out to Midnight Playtime and Neon Dan over on Twitter at Neon Dan TV for providing the music to the Level Down Games podcast. Go check him out over on Twitter and hit up his Bandcamp at midnightplaytime.bandcamp.com to listen to more really excellent synthwave vibes. But right before Kyle left, we sat down this past Wednesday. We chatted a little bit about Oddworld Soulstorm, and to kick off the sad anus this week, that's what we're going to talk about. So here we go. You still got to talk an important game that recently released freely on the PlayStation Store, thanks to PlayStation Plus. If you are a member, make sure you go download it. We're talking Oddworld Soulstorm.
Yes, sir.
We've both been putting, I don't know how much you've played of this yet. I guess I'm about to find out when you start talking about it. I've been putting a decent amount of time into this, and I'm really, really liking what I've played. But why don't you tell me what you think so far?
Yes. Okay, so this is a game that I've really been looking forward to because I've always been such a big fan of the Oddworld games. The Oddworld games, I don't think, are for everybody. I think that they are kind of like this weird niche game, especially the originals, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey and Oddworld Abe's Exodus. Those are my favorites. And they are this kind of slower paced platform puzzler. And there's not a lot of combat. In fact, there's no combat really to be spoken of. But there's a lot of puzzles that go into it in getting certain doors to open, getting certain enemies to get out of the way so that you can get through these parts of the level. This game was it kind of advertises the return to form for the Oddworld series, which had me super excited because, like I said, those are my two favorite games. And this is the pickup point from New and Tasty, which was the remake of Abe's Odyssey. So everybody kind of assumed that this was a remake of Abe's Exodus, but it's not really. This is kind of a different direction for the series after New and Tasty. And doesn't really follow the story or the gameplay or much anything, I would say, of Abe's Exodus, aside from some themes.
Not really. No, not really. Yeah, they definitely spiced it up, which
yeah.
I can definitely appreciate.
Now, I just a couple years ago replayed Abe's Odyssey and Abe's Exodus, and I still love those games so much. this game adds a lot of different things into the mix, into the formula of those games. The games no longer switch screens. The camera flows with you as you go around, and this is that 2.90 graphics that the developers were talking about, where it is a 2D side scroller game, but it's moving around a 3D environment, which is really kind of a cool effect that you don't see coming. And it's a little disorienting sometimes. It's hard to tell where distances are when you need to jump or duck down. Sometimes if the camera is not pointed directly kind of perpendicular to where you're standing, but the effect is really nice. I do like that part a lot.
Is this the only game that utilizes that 2.9D type of mechanic as well? Because I looked into it and I couldn't remember, because this game has been in development so long. I know that we've been talking about like 2.9D stuff for years, but I couldn't remember if it was all just because of this game. And I honestly think it might be.
Now, I mean, maybe to this extent, I can think of other like side scrollers, like
sure, me too.
The Ori
but anytime
series
you look,
kind of does similar things in a lot of ways, where it'll zoom in and out of environments, and actually it will kind of circle around in some environments so that you can see a different perspective. So I would say the Ori games kind of pick this up, but definitely not like this one does.
Yeah, because like I said, if you just Google 2.9D graphics to see if anyone's ever done like a deep dive or to see if there's anything else out there, Oddworld is the only one that shows up, which is kind of interesting. But
yeah,
there are definitely other platforming games like Ori. I mean, even Hollow Knight to an extent, but not nearly as in-depth as you said.
You know, the other one that actually comes to mind right now, Metroid Samus Returns on the 3DS just a few years ago.
You know, I never played that, so.
Oh, it's great. It's a remake of...
I know it is. I've never played it.
Yeah.
I imagine it's great. I think Frank was trying to get me to play it because Metroid 2 is his favorite Metroid of all time.
Right, and this is the 3D remake of that.
This is the remake of
that
version,
yes. And there are instances in that game where it does similar things to what this one is doing. I think that might be the closest, honestly. But still not to this. I'd call that one 2.65D, maybe. I don't know.
Something like that. Now, how far are you into Oddworld Soulstorm?
Okay, I have put a few hours into it. It's split into stages. Even when you complete a level, it says go to next level. That's the button that you push.
But it all feels like it flows together. Like,
it does.
It's fun how they broke it up so that way you can replay certain things. But
right, they are in a sequential order
area almost. Yeah,
for a narrative. But there's a lot. There's platinum and gold and trophy type things that you can get after each level if you find enough certain things.
No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, so. I'm not either. I'm not a trophy hunter typically.
Me neither. I'm just playing for the story and playing because I appreciate the mechanics of the game. And it's actually, like I said, I think it's really, really fun.
I do believe I'm probably on the fourth or fifth level.
Okay, so you're right around where I am then. I'm in like the valley area.
That's where I am.
Okay, with the metal bridges, I guess, and
yes,
the pulleys and okay. Yep. That's where I'm at.
That's where I'm at as well. And I think this far into the game, I've got a pretty good handle on the feel of the game, what it's going for. And I have to say it this game overall probably falls into the middle of the pack for Oddworld games for me. It does not reach to the heights of Oddworld Abe's Odyssey or Oddworld's Abe's Exodus for me. Those two games are still king in my opinion, and it's because they were such problem solver games. There was so much just looking at an environment, trying to figure out exactly what needed to be done, figuring out the right sequence of steps that had to happen. And this one feels much more action oriented. There's a lot of you can make fires now, you can douse fires. There's a lot of different things that are going on. And the really, and maybe
it's
it comes
actually
into play
really
later.
Cool.
It's cool.
Really cool, all of the things that they brought in to you make it more so that way, because you mentioned before, one of the complaints that a lot of people that, you know, weren't diehard fans of Oddworld had were that the games were slow.
Yes.
So adding things like that to do, while you know, a lot of it is utilized to solve puzzles, there's still other things along the way to do. And I think that was done to try to make it appeal to more people.
Absolutely. Yeah. They did bring in kind of a more mass appeal to the game. But for me, that's what made me such a big fan of the old ones, was just how slow and thoughtful they were. And there are fast-paced sections, but there's no combat to speak of. This one really actually kind of has combat. One of the things that I am missing...
I've been treating it more combat-oriented.
Yeah.
I've been kind of, you know, taking over the enemies along the way. Mm-hmm. And make, you know, just kind of taking them out that way because it's easier.
And that's, well, and that's something that you can do in the old ones. You take over an enemy and go take out all his buddies and then explode him. But one of the things that I am missing the most, and maybe it comes into play later, but just how important talking to people was in the old game. You had four voice commands, and if you saw any other Mudokons, you could speak to them and you could say hello, and they would reply to you, hello, and then follow me. Okay.
And you still can, right? They just don't do anything.
Yeah. There's no interactions that are important because
of the... At least so far to where we're at.
Exactly. Because of the speech. Sometimes you would take over one of the enemies and you would go tell his buddies, hey, follow me. Okay. And he'd follow you. And then you would go get both of them killed under a rock or something. And that was how you solved a puzzle. But the, you know, that specific aspect of the game was so important in the originals that I miss it a lot.
Yeah. So are you writing a review for this one?
I probably will eventually, just because I am so passionate about the source. You know,
Then I'm not going to ask you what you would score it, because I'll wait till you actually write that. But I was kind of looking around on OpenCritic, and I just, man, this game is coming in. And we talked about this a little bit on the Lebanon Games podcast, what, last week?
Yeah.
When we did the OpenCritic results for this. So it would have been last week. Yeah. I guessed it would come in at an 84. And dude, I just looked right now as we record this. Again, you and I are sitting down on a Wednesday night. It's not the Friday night when we normally do this. It's at a 71 now. So it's even less than it was last Friday when we did the show.
You know, I think overall...
It was a 73 last week.
Overall, I think it's probably a... Objectively, I think it's probably a little bit higher than that. I'd probably give it a 7.5 objectively. For me... A little lower, maybe a 7.0 or a 6.5, just because I wanted something different out of it.
Right. But I'm going to finish it. I definitely want to finish it. I want to see it through. I hope that this won't be the end for Oddworld either, because I do like this series.
I love the series.
But we do have such big gaps in between the releases.
They do. They struggle with development of these games, and it stinks. And they struggle with... fully realizing what they want from the games also. As you can tell, just looking through the history of this franchise, it's all over the place in terms of the games and the gameplay.
Yeah, but it's been fun. It's definitely been fun. Lauren Lanning, man, he's such a passionate guy when it comes to the Oddworld Inhabitant Studio. And I do hope that, you know, this game doesn't spell the end for the series, because I was hopeful that it would get better scores, and, you know, that games live and die off that. So
if you liked the original Oddworld games, there's still a lot to like here. It still feels like an Oddworld game in many, many ways. And that's very fun. If you did not like the Oddworld games, maybe this is a good place for you to jump in, because it introduces a lot of kind of friendlier mechanics to it, and it's not so puzzle heavy.
Right. So, and again, like we said last week about Outriders, since it was on Game Pass, download it. Since it's on PlayStation Plus,
download it. Download Why wouldn't
it.
You?
Support it. Download it. Let's get those
Even
in there.
Even if you don't have a PS5, log into your account on a PC or your phone and claim it, so that when you do get a PS5, you can play it.
Yeah, Frank. Yeah. Frank. We know you're out there trying to get your PS5 still. Dude, he tried the other day during the PlayStation Direct thing. It's still so hard to get.
Yeah.
Even on that, it's hard to get still.
It's crazy, man. Just craziness. Yeah,
download it. Download it. All right. And we're back now. And Dan, I think you, since you haven't been here, have some updates on Call of Duty Warzone for us. And the fans are just foaming at the mouth waiting for the updates on Warzone.
Yeah, it's I have not touched a game since Warzone. I've got bit back by the bug. I've completed the season pass.
But you've
pass.
gotten did you get all the way up to 100?
Yeah, I completed it.
Wow.
So,
impressive.
Yeah,
very impressive.
Will be free. Yeah, I very grinded impressive. It all out.
Very impressive. Yeah, you've definitely it's been fun watching you play it now though because you have gotten better.
I have. It's one thing.
Not that it wasn't fun before, but
well,
it's
yeah,
more
but,
fun to see somebody do better than it is to just spectate all the damn time.
And it's better to not spectate all the time. It's nice to be into the, you know, into the grind and actually into the battle. So yeah, it's you know, playing a little more consistently. I've actually been kind of watching some videos and just trying to get better because I do enjoy these games, but when I'm not good at them, you know, it's a little frustrating and it hurts the stream. So yes, I am back into the Warzone. Like I said, I completed the season pass April 21st. It all ends. I think that's what they tweeted out. Call of Duty tweeted out.
The game's over. Warzone's done.
The end is near. Hashtag Warzone. So what the hell does that mean?
Warzone's finally coming to an end, Dan. That means you're going to have to finally find a new game to play.
I'll be done with video games. I'm retiring, hanging the boots up.
See, the day prior, MLB The Show 21 releases free on Xbox Game Pass. So there you go. And it's 420.
Yeah.
Even better. Fire it up.
Damn.
We need Sean.
Got a whole lot of shit going on.
He's not here. Smoke weed every day. But
I know. We need them sound effects.
I know.
But yeah, so
what does
a lot
this
of
mean?
I don't know. The zombies have slowly been taking over Verdansk. They started with the shipwreck, and then they went to, I think they infected, where did they go? They infected prison, and then they infected TV station, airport, and now they're at the dam.
Has
this
all been
weird...
taking place in-game or no?
Yes, it's been taking place in-game. Like every weekly update, we've been having the zombie events go to a different place. Now,
got
this
it.
Past
okay.
like 2 weeks, we've been having ballistic missiles randomly just fire overhead, and we get this weird, like, you know how, like, when you're watching TV and there's a weather alert, you know, that weird,
sound? Yeah. Yep.
That's been going on as well, and it's been some, like, Russian, like, talking about some kind of weird thing going on. It's very distracting, though. I will say that. It's kind of very distracting when you're trying to, you know, battle and trying to hear footsteps. It can be very frustrating, and it's cost me a few times because it's just, I don't know, it's annoying. I get what they're trying to do. But it's distracting. So yes, we have this zombie event going on. Not sure what's going on now. This week, close to shipwreck and prison, there. Once the plane starts to fly over, a red circle appears and it gets larger and larger and larger. And hadn't really figured out what was going on. I was playing Tuesday. Yeah, I was playing Tuesday, and we're having a great game. And then randomly, we get killed by a zombie, and we're like, "What the fuck?" Had no idea what was going on. So. Supposedly, you can jump into these areas, and it's as soon as you jump into these areas, you start dying. You're breathing in this like poison, or it's been like infected.
Okay.
So I guess one of your teammates, or no, as long as one of your teammates stays alive, the other teammates can turn into zombies. So you don't have any weapons, but you're like super fast. You could sneak up. Like, we hear no footsteps. We were sitting there about to go into a building. Next thing you know, we get attacked from behind by a zombie, and their teammates finish us off with the guns. It was insane. Had no idea what was going on. So it kind of
takes a little...
So it's
kind of like the zombie mode from this past Halloween, sort of.
It was, but there's like,
yeah.
There was no heads up. Like,
right.
We just thought we were playing a little bit of a normal game, and then we're getting attacked by zombies. So I get what they're doing, but it I don't know. It's kind of taken away, like, from the game a little bit, you know, just being a battle royale. Like, I guess make it a separate game mode. I don't know. It just, it's a little frustrating. I'm very, it's left me scratching my head a little bit, trying to figure out what they're doing. So we don't know. Supposedly Verdansk is getting blown up. And
okay.
Maybe there's been rumors that we're going to, like, a 1980s version of Verdansk, where things haven't been built yet, or, you know, it's going to be like a completely different map, which might be nice. Maybe the buildings won't be so high. Sniping is really like head glitches, and the glint from the sniper things has been broken. I don't know. Or there's rumors that we're going to the Ural Mountains, which is in Cold War, which would be a completely different map. So,
which
all...
would be cool.
Yes, it would be. A new map is always cool. cool as long as they don't completely screw it up. Because
Warzone's been out for a little over a year now, correct? I think it came out like March or February of, I think it was March of 2020. So it would be about the time
Modern
where
Warfare
to,
came out in November.
And then Warzone was the update after. I think it's time for a new map. So I think the second option hopefully makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm torn on it. A new map. I'm always for a new map. I'm just nervous, you know. I because I do like Verdansk. I do like some of the things they have. It's a very vibrant atmosphere. My concern with them going to like a 1980s Cold War feel is that, you know, the map will be kind of bland. I don't know.
Dreary times, Dan. We had threats of nuclear war abound. People were scared.
I mean, it's just kind of the feel they're going for. I don't know. I mean, I won't know until it's here. I mean, again, there's a lot of things they need to fix in this game. You know, hackers, I sent you that clip that was going on. There's this guy that has night vision and he's pinging
everybody on the map. We watched
this
before we started. That's insane.
So the hacking's got to stop. We got to get the IP bans, not just username bans. That is very hurting the game right now. It's ran into it a few times, and it really kind of kills the mood and kills the vibe sometimes.
Absolutely.
So it's unfortunate. I really wish that Activision and those guys would kind of get a grip on it. There's also rumored, I don't know if I'm a fan of this, but there's also rumors of 250 players into the new map. Yeah.
Wow. It's 150 right now, right?
It's 150 right now. So 250, I was trying to see.
250 would put it on par with, wasn't MAG 200 or 250?
Oh, wow. I thought it was around
It was around 200 something. Yeah. That would put it up there. And I know there was a Battlefield that had...
I'm trying to think of, there was the...
Was it 256? I don't remember.
It might have been, because I'm trying to think. Battlefield 3 and 4 didn't have that. I think it's when they went back to like World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did this. It was like a really stupid, large
mode, dude. It was a giant mode. I remember it.
Capture points A through H or something like that. And you would go through waves, and it was insane.
But it would be interesting if they chose to go that route, because it's not something that is done often. Like, that's what I was trying to do there, was think of all the times that we've seen, you know, 200 plus in a multiplayer map for a shooter, and it's not often.
No, and the concern would be is it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes you jump into a server, you know, with 150 people, and sometimes you're rubber banding pretty bad, and there's issues there. So the concern would be, you know, trying to add another 100 players.
Right.
What the hell is that going to do?
So we're supposed to find out Wednesday, the 21st.
Yes, Wednesday is the end of the season. We will figure out, is it a new map completely? Is it old version of Verdansk? Who knows? But we will know here, you know, as of time of recording, we'll know in what, 5-6 days?
5-6 days from now. But by the time you're hearing it, hopefully, it'll just be another day or two. So,
true, very true.
Yeah.
So, hopefully,
by the time this posts. Yeah. Dude, it might even leak. Like, it's Friday night. We still got plenty of time. We're probably going to know before Wednesday.
And I guess I just want to know what I'm prepping myself for.
Right, which would be fine. Like, I mean, that's what's so great about leaks is that, you know, you get to find out things early. I this week am talking about two quick indie games that I've been playing on the Switch. I was going to try to talk a lot on Cozy Grove, but there's not a ton to say. So Cozy Grove is this cute life simulator, basically Animal Crossing Lite, more or less. And it was kind of introduced in an indie showcase or a Nintendo Direct or something. And I've kind of been keeping my eyes on it for a while, but you start out and you're playing as this like, character on this island called Cozy Grove, and you are interacting with these spirits, and by helping these spirits and it really hasn't made it quite clear yet, at least to me, at the point where I'm at in the game, if this is meant to be a version of the afterlife or not. I haven't quite figured that out yet. And if it is, that's actually really awesome. But you're helping these spirits kind of like with their problems. And by doing so, they turn into like the real version of themselves. And the actual area will become more vibrant and look like, you know, because before you help them, it's all like washed out, whitish, you know, kind of like black and white type of an effect over it. But when you help them,
color to it.
Yeah, exactly. When you help them, everything comes to life, and you know, they're not their spirit form anymore. They're this bear, and everything's, you know, happy, and you know, you can have access to shops and all of these different things. And there's so many different sections of the island. So I've been kind of progressing each day. But the unfortunate thing is I reached the point where the game actually wants you to take it in real time because it's one of those types of games.
Oh, okay.
And there's not that much to do in this game when you have to take it real time. So much like Animal Crossing, you can craft, you can go fishing, you can kind of like harvest crops, you can search there are these little leaf piles, and that's where you find materials. You can pick up sticks and stuff off the ground, pick up seashells to sell. Like I said, it's very similar. But so I started skipping ahead, just like Animal Crossing. You know, I start, you know, time traveling, going just to keep playing the game a little bit. And I like it, but there's not a ton to say. Because that took me about 3 minutes, and I've just described the entire game. So, but it's an Animal Crossing. I mean, I could do that with Animal Crossing New Horizons. I could probably describe that game in 3 minutes or less. It's not that difficult.
No, it's. I mean, there's not much to it, really.
It's a very intricate game, but to explain it, there's not a lot going on. And Cozy Grove is even. It does. It's really cool. Like I watercolor type style to it. It's really cool looking. And the soundtrack is awesome. The game is, like I said, the game is super fun, but it's one of those games where it wants you to take it in real time and it's a slow process. So I also have been playing Stitchy and Tooky Trouble, which if you listened to the podcast last week was a running joke for the entire week. Stoochy and Toochy Trouble. Dude, this game, I love it so much. I've already pretty much finished it. I'm on the third world of three, unless something unlocks after the third world. And I hope it does, but I really don't think it will. Game only was $10. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's not
giving much love on Metacritic, though.
No. And I don't know why. I really haven't looked into it too much. But I actually think this game is a nice little throwback to those that really liked Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo and those that like Crash Bandicoot. Because it plays like a 1990s Donkey Kong Country style game. You know, each world, and there's three of them, is divided up into 9 different levels. And at the end, you have a 10th level, which is a boss fight. And if you've collected all of the they're little totem pieces in this game. And I don't know why they're totem pieces. Because he's a scarecrow and the game is about like corn and stuff. So
yeah,
they're these little
collecting corn.
corn is your basically coin in this game. There's really nothing to do with it. You just collect it. Now, at the end of each level, you are graded on how fast it took you to get through the levels. You know, up to 3 stars, very mobile like in that regard, where if you finish in like a minute or less, you're going to get 3 stars. 2 is 2 stars. 3, you know, 3 minutes will be 1 star, et cetera. There's also a hidden stage in each level or each world as an 11th stage, but there's no collectibles to collect in that 11th bonus stage. It's just there to give an incentive for people to actually try to collect, you know, the 3 totem pieces, or in the Mario games, it would be like the 3 green or big Yoshi coins or whatever you want to call them. So, that's basically all this game is, man. It's a fun little 1990s platformer that I think, to the point where I'm at, it's taken me maybe 2 hours. Like,
oh,
it's
geez,
not
okay,
a long game.
Wow.
It's not a long game.
Quick. Okay.
It's not a long game. But
you said
I mean,
it's $10?
$10. For the price point, that's not terrible.
No.
And, you know, I really would like to have seen this more fleshed out, you know, with more, because clearly it's not an issue of there's not enough room for, you know, another 5 worlds or whatever. It's just probably didn't have the resources to do that. So I wish that they, you know, they would have had a bigger budget and a bigger team, and there would have been more support behind this, because had it had that, and had this been fully fleshed out into, say, a $30 or $40 game, you could be looking at something that does rival Donkey Kong Country. And that would be really awesome to see in 2021.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's still, that game's, a lot of people love that game even now.
Yeah. So for now, we have a nice little, you know, love letter to that series. You know, if I was writing a review for it, I'd probably say somewhere around a 7. It's not perfect, but it's fun. And the Crash Bandicoot stuff comes because you're smashing boxes in the game. So as you're kind of like running through the levels, you can jump up and ground pound to smash the boxes, and that allows you to get corn and hearts and that kind of stuff. So it's very similar to those two IPs. And for $10, if you like those, go check it out. Give it some love. Stoochie and Toochie Touchy. I don't know. Stitchy and Toochie Trouble.
I mean, that is a little bit of a tongue twister.
I know, but not any worse than Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, which we'll be talking about here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, it's time for the Sean Wellman Lightning Round. All right, we have, I didn't count, it doesn't matter, we have several items on the list this week. We'll take turns going back and forth through these. We'll put 10 minutes on the clock. Shouldn't take that long. The lightning round begins right now. I love this first one. Sony has released the first major system software update for the PlayStation 5, and with it came the ability to finally store PS5 games on USB extended storage. It's not quite the internal solution we're waiting for later this year, but this still allows for games to be moved over to any external hard drive when you don't think you'll be needing them anytime soon, as it'll be much faster to move games back and forth off of an external than it would be, of course, to re-download the games every single time. Plus, data caps. So, Dan, did you hook something up to your PS5 already or no?
No, I haven't. I have not shown my consoles much love, to be honest with you.
Oh, man. I actually, I'm going to order, I think, an external hard drive and get that attached to the PlayStation 5 for now. That way,
I had one for my PS4. For my PS4 Pro, I had it, so I should be able to just use that one.
You should just be able to use that one. I didn't have one. I just used the internal 2 terabyte I put in the PS4 Pro. My other external hard drive is attached to my PC, so I'll probably just order another 2 terabyte external, slap that onto the PS5 for now, until they give us the internal storage solutions later this year.
Actually, the only reason I had the external for the PS4 Pro is because games would play faster off of it. So when I was playing a lot of Destiny, the load times would be so much quicker on an external hard drive. Yeah. So that I'm trying to think how big of an external I have. I didn't think I bought anything. It might have just been one. I can't.
Yeah, and one would be fine probably for a couple of months to get us by.
Yeah, for now.
Like I said, you can't play the games off of it, but at least we can store games on there now that we're not using.
Like you said.
Yeah, data caps are huge, obviously. And I've already had to re-delete and download so many things off the PS5 when I try to put things on there that having that external hard drive attached will be really nice.
Well, yeah. Because what I hate is I had the Division 2 on there, and it won't update if there's not enough room. It's dumb. Like, if there's not enough room for the update, then it won't do the update, even though the game's already installed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. No, the same thing happens with Marvel's Avengers, because I've been trying to play that lately.
It's frustrating.
I get it. Oh, man. But that's not the only thing Sony did this week, Dan.
No. Sony Group Corporation has invested an additional $200 million into Epic Games as Epic completes a $1 billion round of funding that will allow the company to support future growth opportunities. This comes on top of Sony investing $250 million back in July to acquire a minority stake in the company.
So I'm wondering where that puts them now. If they've invested another $200 million, if they already had a minority stake, if they would be somewhere getting close to, not necessarily taking over Epic Games, but I really think that with Microsoft making the moves that they have, and Sony releasing their games on PC first through the Epic Game Store, it really feels like Sony is positioning themselves to kind of use Epic as their foothold into the PC market type of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart. They got to do something because, I mean, it's. I feel like I wake up every day to something Microsoft's doing that just blowing Sony out of the water. So.
Yeah, Microsoft's constantly doing stuff. And, you know, Sony's been rather silent. So did you see that somebody, I forget who it was, I think it was the boss... I don't remember who, or the creator of God of War, maybe. Maybe it was Corey Barlog. I don't remember who it was. But somebody said that Sony is working on a response to Game Pass in the last, like, 4 or 5 days. So, we'll see. We'll see what they decide to do.
Hopefully it's something good.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
They need it.
Yeah. Gord has been announced by Devenant.dev, a Polish development studio founded by Stan Just, whose previous credits include Two Worlds and Anomaly, as well as he did something for The Witcher 3. I don't know exactly what he did. I didn't look that too into it, but his name was on the credits for The Witcher 3 as well. It's described as a single-player adventure strategy game featuring developing societies, forbidden lands, and mythical creatures. It will launch for PCs sometime next year. Lead the people of the Tribe of the Dawn as they venture deep into forbidden lands. Complete quests that shape their personalities, impact their well-being, and decide the fate of their community. Ensure the survival of your populace in a grim fantasy world inspired by Slavic folklore. This game sounds cool. This game sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. It sounds interesting for sure.
Yeah. It's got sort of like that little bit isometric top-down type view. It could be a cool little game here. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about a handful of things here that we're going to talk about. These next entries all come from that Indie World Showcase from Nintendo last week. And this first one, Dan, I'm so excited for.
Konami has announced roguelike hack and slash action game Getsu Fumiden. Undying
Moon.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, that's what I would say. Getsu Fumiden.
Yeah, sounds good. Undying Moon for PC and Switch. It will launch in early access on PC next month on May 13th, followed by Switch sometime in 2022. Getsu Fumiden, Undying Moon combines intense roguelike hack and slash action with a stunning dark fantasy world brought to life through the stroke of traditional Japanese art. As the chosen leader and guardian of the land of the living, wield the otherworldly arsenal and powers of the Getsu clan as you descend deeper into the depths of hell to eradicate the source of cataclysm.
And I just want to point out again that was Konami there at the beginning. So I love to see their name attached to a game that was not yet announced. And this game just looks so freaking rad. Like, I am digging this so much. And, you know, maybe it gives me hope that we will see something Castlevania related from them in the future. Maybe they haven't given up all hope yet. So we'll see. I'm excited for this, though. I really am.
It sounds interesting. I didn't see anything about it. I'm going to have to check the trailer.
Yeah,
I
mean, definitely check it out. Interesting. Definitely check it out. Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals has been announced by publisher MWM Interactive and developer Night School Studio. It'll release later this year on PC and Switch. 5 years after the events of Oxenfree, Riley returns to her hometown of Kamina to investigate mysterious radio signals. What she finds is more than she bargained for. Yeah, I definitely be playing that. I love Oxenfree. And I like Night School Studio. I think After Party probably still my favorite game that they actually did. That game is just so humorous, but the studio's crazy, and I always support stuff that they put out. I'm looking forward to Oxenfree 2.
I am not familiar with Oxenfree.
Oh, man, you should check it out. I think it's on Game Pass. You should check it out.
Is it? Oh, damn. I got to boot up. I probably have a few updates to do on those systems, too. Ollie World has been announced by publisher Private Division and developer Roll7. It will launch this winter for PC, PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Ollie World is a bold new skateboarding action platformer that's bursting with personality. Flip and flow through the vivid and vibrant world of Radland, meeting colorful characters as you grind, trick, and air your way to discover the mystical skate gods on your quest for Nirvana.
This game looks so rad, man. It looks just so much fun. I like Ollie. They're these little, they went with a new like art style for this one, and I think it works really well. But before, it was this little like just side-scrolling skateboarding game, platforming type game, and man, these games are fun. And this one looked really cool too.
Yeah, for sure. Skateboarding, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, definitely. WRC-10 has been announced by publisher Nacon and developer KT Racing. It's currently in development for PC, PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, and will release on September 2nd for all platforms except the Switch, which will release at a later time. Hailed by reviewers and professional drivers, the standard-setting off-road racing simulation has been reinvented. Reach the 2021 season podium, and to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the competition, relive the highlights at the Wheel of Legendary Cars. The series usually does pretty well. There's a reason they've got to 10. I probably won't play it, but it's cool. I'm glad it's coming.
Wasn't one of those games free on PlayStation?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure multiple games have been in that series.
I mean, I guess if you get to a 10 in a series, I mean, you're doing something right.
Somebody's buying it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Nintendo will release a new blue color version of the Switch Lite on May 7th in Europe and on May 21st in North America and Japan for $199.99.
This is a gorgeous blue. Like, if I wanted to pick up a Switch Lite, and I don't, I do not have a need for a Switch Lite, but if I was going to, I would buy this blue color. It is really cool looking.
Yeah, blue is like my favorite color, but like you said, I don't want a Switch Lite.
Blue is my favorite number. Isn't that a song?
Is it?
I don't know. Did I just make that up?
I'm blue, dabba dee,
is my favorite number. Let's see.
I'm blue, dabba dee.
Nope. I guess I did make that up.
Nice. That's impressive.
Closing out the lightning round. Ubisoft Forward will be taking place during E3 week on June 12th at 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 p.m. Pacific. This is our third press conference confirmed for E3 week now, on top of last week's already confirmed future game show on the 13th and the PC gaming show on the 13th. So,
are E3, you shocked?
E3 week is starting to flesh out.
I was about to say, are we shocked about this?
No, I don't think I am shocked. I think I'll be shocked. I actually won't be shocked. Next year, it'll go back to normal. I guarantee it. Next year, it'll be at the Los Angeles Convention Center in person. Everything will go back to normal, most likely, except for the fact that, you know, Sony and a lot of big companies won't be there. So I think that sucks, but I'm not surprised that the Entertainment Software Association is, you know, not giving up on E3 as a source of something for them. And it seems like, you know, most of the big guys are on board.
Yeah, Nintendo and Microsoft are there, right?
Yeah, Nintendo and Microsoft have both announced that they will be there. Nintendo supposedly, you know, there's rumors that they're going to be having their next big direct around that week, and Microsoft's going to supposedly have a ton to say. So we'll obviously have reactions to all that stuff when it comes to E3 week.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it's happening, because as a fan of gaming and as a fan of the industry, I like E3 week, even though it's stressful, but I like it as a week, and it's exciting. But I'm also glad that Jeff Keighley's doing his Summer Game Fest at a different time, and that he's not giving up on that, because that can exist alongside E3 and still, you know, kind of fill the gap. You know, E3 is always usually in June, Summer Game Fest in July, Gamescom in August. We just have a summer full of love. I don't know.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Video games? Hell yeah. Summer video games. Let's go.
That's the lightning round.
This is Kyle, and one day you can be too. Every Friday, I host what is soon to be your favorite podcast, The Media Files. Me and one of my best friends talk about pop culture happenings so that you don't look like an uncultured swine during those boring water cooler conversations. Laughs are shared, tears are cried, and sometimes we have really interesting special guests that you might be familiar with. Download The Media Files wherever you download podcasts, and remember, be kind, be honest, and we'll see you later.
That music right there means it's time for a little new release roulette. Oh, that's what I didn't do. We'll have to do it live once again. We'll have to check the Open Critics live as we do the show. I didn't actually look to see who won last week because it's just me and you on the show, so it didn't technically matter.
You're right, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because Dan's getting pick of the week and he gets the final words regardless. But we still need to find out how Kyle and Sean did last week. So let's look this up live. Our first game we talked about last week was Ashwalkers. I guessed it would come in at a 68. Kyle put 10 on it going over. 12 reviews, 67, the official Top Critic average. I was so damn close, but Kyle, trusting that it would be better, it was not better, so No points there. Voxel Tycoon, I guessed it would come in at a 73. Does not look like that's showing up on OpenCritic, so no reviews. Saga Frontier Remastered was next. That should definitely be on here. It is. I guessed it would come in at a 75. Sean put 13 on it going over. Kyle put 10 on it going over. 21 reviews, 74. The official top critic average. Dan, I was one off again!
Damn, man. But, you're like almost there.
But Sean and Kyle, trusting that it would be better, it was not. So no points there. maybe Dan, maybe they don't get any points and you would have just, you know, you would have won anyway.
I just win by default.
You win by default. The Dark Side Detective, A Fumble in the Dark, was next. I guessed it would come in at a 74. It looks like we only have one review so far. On OpenCritic. It is a 5-star review. That's actually really good. But yeah, can't take an average on that. Stitchy and Tucci Trouble. Stitchy and Tucci Trouble is next. I guess they would come in at a 70. Sean put 17 on it going over. Kyle put 5 on it going over. Guys, trust me a little bit more. 10 reviews on OpenCritic. 65. The official top critic average. So no points there.
Damn.
And then our last game was Emily is Away 3, and I wonder if that's actually on here. Oh, it is. Emily is Away 3. Oh, but only one review. So can't take an average on that. I guessed it would come to that 83. Kyle put 5 on that going dead on. It likely will fall somewhere in that low 80, though. There's one review on OpenCritic. It's an 8.5. Yeah, but nobody would have earned points last week, so Dan, you would have won anyway. So look at that.
Damn. Look
at
that.
The rightful winner this week is you, Craze 12.
I guess I did win in that department. Winning life.
We got, what do we have here? 5 games to talk about this week for the new release roulette. Game number 1 coming on Tuesday to PC5. PS5, nice. PS4, Xbox Series, and Xbox One. And it will be available, crazily enough, on the Xbox Game Pass. It is MLB The Show 21. $70 on PS5 if you want to play it on there.
That's insane.
Experience faster, deeper, and more intense moment-to-moment match action on the field with a variety of game modes for all you rookie players and returning seasoned vets. I want to play it, but I don't want to pay $70 for it now that it's free on Game Pass.
It's just crazy, right? That a Sony game is free on Game Pass.
And Sony had nothing to do with it.
Yep, I guess.
Not a damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have a damn thing to do with it. Microsoft made the deal with MLB, and that's just how it went.
It's just, even in that, Microsoft is winning. I mean, that's
that's so crazy. Yeah. Game number 2 coming on Thursday to PC, We Are the Caretakers. We Are the Caretakers is an Afrofuturist squad management RPG. Assemble an Assemble an arcane team of protectors in squad-building systems inspired by Darkest Dungeon, Ogre Battle, and XCOM. Defend the endangered animals your world relies on in strategic turn-based combat. Define your approach to a global resistance by balancing your reputation, funds, research, animals, and alliances. We Are the Caretakers is a challenging strategy RPG fusion that asks you to protect a planet by fighting for the people, animals, and ecosystems that inhabit it. This game looks actually pretty cool, so I'm going to be keeping an eye on it. I'm not a huge fan of strategy type games like XCOM and Darkest Dungeon, but I like the concept of this game, and the premise sounds really cool, so I definitely want to give it a look sometime. I don't know when, but sometime. Game number 3, I think Dan will be playing later this week, coming on Thursday to PC and Nintendo Switch, Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. Take control of an adorable turnip who happens to be an absolute menace to society. After failing to pay taxes and getting evicted from your home, you must go on an epic quest to pay back your massive debt to Mayor Onion. Garden tools to solve plantastic puzzles, meet eccentric vegetables and fruits, and take on treacherous fights. Along the journey, uncover what's spoiling this garden community and rise to tear down the corrupt vegetable government. This game looks awesome. It's very Earthbound. And I think that's probably why you're picking it up. And it's only $15, too.
$15. Where, anyway, like I said, MLB The Show is $70.
$70 and free on Game Pass. So, definitely, I will for sure be picking up Turnip Boy as well. And I'm definitely buying it on Switch. Yeah, this is a day one for me.
I will be buying it on Steam.
Are you going to pick it up on Steam?
I think. I just like playing stuff on my PC.
That's what happens when you get a good PC, Dan. I told you what happened.
It has. It really has.
That's what happens. You kind of lose interest in consoles more and more. But I don't know. Ever since I picked up that new Monster Hunter Switch, I've been playing a crap ton of stuff on the Switch. So I'll probably get it there. I might even get this on the Switch too. Game number 4. This one looks really cool. Smelter comes on Thursday. You are Eve, fresh out of Eden and armed with a living suit of armor. Explore a dangerous new world, battle its bizarre denizens, and expand your empire in a desperate journey to find Adam. Smelter is a strategy action platformer combo inspired by classics from the 16-bit era. Lead Smelter and his faithful Zerm forces by expanding Smelter's territory across the rumbly lands and top-down strategy levels, then dive into thrilling side-scrolling action stages after annexing key locations. Build, attack, and advance your army, unlock, upgrade, and unleash elemental action skills against vicious enemies, perilous environments, and dangerous bosses. Release the power of Smelter. And this one's only $20 too, so not bad. And it looks cool.
Yeah, it does. The 16-bit gets me. I mean, it's just...
Anything like that always is a nice throwback. Yeah.
I mean, it does. It looks really cool. And like you said, with that price point, I mean, it's almost hard to say no.
Yeah, definitely. And the only $60 game that I'll be buying this week is game number 5, coming on Friday to PC, PS4, Xbox One. Near Replicant, version 1.22474487139. Near Replicant is an updated version of Near, originally released in Japan in April of 2010. Discover the one-of-a-kind prequel of the critically acclaimed masterpiece Near Automata, now with a modern upgrade, experience masterfully revived visuals, and a fascinating storyline and more. Sorry, I kind of combined three sentences together there. The protagonist is a kind young man living in a remote village. In order to save his sister Yona, who fell terminally ill to the Black Scroll, he sets out with Grimoire Vice, a strange talking tome, to search for the sealed verses. I'm excited to play through this again. I played through the original Nier when it came out on the Xbox 360, and I didn't quite appreciate it as much as I should have back then. And Nier Automata kind of, you know, blew my mind as much as it did and really made me fall in love with the series. I'm excited to play through this game again because I didn't play through it the way that I played through Nier Automata. So now that I know how to play through this game,
I'm
going to play through this game completely differently because very much like Nier Automata, it has multiple endings and, you know, multiple things that you need to do to get those endings. And I never did any of that. Like, I just played through the game not knowing any of that back in 2010. So
now you kind of have a different appreciation.
Now I have a definite different appreciation for the series, especially after Automata, because it was such a freaking masterpiece, as the description said. Looking forward to having this one in the collection as well. I'm probably going to play it on PS5, just backwards compatible through PS4.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are the games. And of course, now here are the scores. For MLB The Show 21, I'm going to go with an 84. For We Are the Caretakers, I'm going with a 73. Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, I'm going with an 80. Smelter, I'm going to go with a 77. And Near Replicant, I'm going with an 88. While Dan figures out his bets, let's go ahead and jump to a preview of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. Last week on the show, it was episode 200, and we had Frank back for the first time in a long time, but he'll be back every week going forward, and we did a special edition of Radio Hour. Check it out.
You know what? I really fit it here. I brought the guacamole because I moved. I'm no longer the king of Long Island. L.I. can go to hell. L.I. can go to hell.
And everyone there can, too. I'm kidding.
Each and every one of you. Die twice. No, I moved to Pueblo, Colorado. It's the desert, mostly. The third or fourth biggest city in Colorado. Fun recreational stuff here. I recommend visiting.
Colorado's a great state. Colorado's a great state. But I like that you actually picked Desierto Caliente. So great.
First of all, right now, Brian, I am sunburned to shit. Just set up the pool in the backyard. I've been doing.
Is it really that hot there? Like, does it get that hot in Pueblo?
It's over 100 in summer.
Dang! Holy crap! I didn't expect that.
It was 82 days ago.
Oof, that's rough. I mean, it's been like in the 70s here in Ohio, which I think is hot. We've had the air running a little bit in the house. Brand new episodes of BG Mania are now available every Wednesday and Saturday. Come join us on this musical adventure.
So this is interesting, right? Because MLB The Show is usually just reviewed on PlayStation. Now...
Now we're going to have way more reviews available.
Exactly.
And they might not be as biased. Because a lot of PlayStation reviews sometimes could be biased, so...
I am going to make this simple.
Okay.
We're going to go 15 over on MLB The Show 21.
Okay.
And I'm going to go 15 over on Turnip Boy.
Okay. I like it. Splitting it on the two that you'll likely place first.
Yes, exactly.
And you think they'll both be better. All right. We'll see. We saw how that went this week. Kyle and Sean thought that everything would be better, and they lost terribly.
Well,
so
I'm better than Kyle and Sean. So.
Well, sometimes. I mean, you do win this game quite often. So
I've been on a hot streak.
I don't even have to ask, but pick of the week this week goes to you, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, it's Turnip Boy.
Yeah, game number three, Turnip Boy commits tax evasion. Yeah. Looking forward to that one for sure. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I've been excited for this all year, so it'll be nice to kind of take a break from Warzone and play something else.
And hopefully stream it on Twitch.
Yeah, I will definitely be... It comes out Thursday.
Thursday.
I'll stream it Thursday.
Hell yeah. I'll definitely... Earth Day. Thursday is Earth Day, too. Look at
is
that.
Is it Earth Day? Look at... perfect. Turnip Boy, it's...
Says it is on the calendar. Maybe you can... I don't know. Do something special for Earth Day. What do you do special for Earth Day? Plant a tree? Smoke a tree on your stream.
Wow.
Smoke weed every day. All right, Dan. So since you weren't on the show last week, and because I don't really have anything else planned for a main discussion, I want to get your thoughts on a game that I talked about last week that both Sean and Kyle seemed very disinterested in. And that's Pac-Man 99, because you actually were playing it over on your Twitch stream the other day. And I happen to know that you, much like me, think this game has a lot of potential.
It does. I am a huge Pac-Man fan. I feel like I'm actually pretty decent at it as well, so that helps. But it's one of my games I used to play all the time on Nintendo. I used to watch my parents play it. So I mean, it's in the roots of my family. There's a shit ton of potential. I had a lot of fun. I think my first game I got 12th place, and I think the last game I played on stream I finished 4th. So I haven't got a win yet, but I
have. You played any since then?
I haven't, no.
Okay, I've still been playing daily. And I don't play much daily. I do maybe 3 or 4 matches a day.
Okay. No, I mean,
I just jump in there for like 10 or 15 minutes at a time. So I'm not putting a crap ton of time into it. I've gotten second place, but I've not actually won.
Can't get that done.
So I've gotten second, I've gotten 4th, and I've gotten 7th. Those are my top 10 finishes. But I usually get knocked out either really early based off of a stupid mistake.
Or
I'll survive until like the final 15, and then I get knocked out because of the red Pac-Mans chasing me around.
Okay, yes. Those fucking red Pac-Man, dude, get me so mad because like... I'm pretty good at like dodging the ghosts and that. Like I feel, but I'm not good at like navigating when those damn red Pac-Mans are like in the damn way. But eating a fruit gets rid of those, right?
Eating a fruit does it get rid of the chasing red Pac-Man? Because it does not get rid of the stationary red Pac-Man. So I don't know that it does.
Eating a fruit
gets rid of I don't know. So I'm thinking Power Pellet. I don't know if eating a fruit gets rid of the red Pac-Man.
I thought it does. That's the only thing that gets rid of the red Pac-Man is eating the fruit.
That is a definite possibility because Power Pellets do not get rid of the red Pac-Man.
No, they don't. They do not at all. And I think I learned that the hard way. Yes. They get the white ones that chase you and slow you down. I'm pretty sure the fruit gets rid of the red Pac-Man.
Okay, I definitely want to pay more attention to that. I've not paid attention to that much because, like you, I still have been trying to figure out like.
It is a
competitive game, so you know you have the different options for attacking more or less, or what would consider attacking. So you
what
have
do you
like
use.
I use counter.
Okay.
I don't know what you should be using.
Me neither.
I use counter, and I usually rack up several medals each game.
Okay, maybe I need to switch to that.
I usually get two or three knockouts each game using counter, and then I'll get like other medals throughout as well. I don't know what you should be using though. And you could probably switch it up and change it like based on circumstance or based on.
Yeah, but on, like, on I'm so focused on the damn game. I have a hard time. Sometimes I even forget about the strategies, you know?
And then like, there's more because you also have, you know, you have the ones that you can push with your right stick, but you have the ones that you can select with the face button as well on the left-hand side of the screen that change like the speed.
Yes.
The, what else is there? There's speed, there's standard, there's...
I can't remember.
There's something that makes it to where, like, I don't remember. I don't remember. I've been using speed on that one. I don't know. I honestly don't remember the other three besides standard. So, and I don't know if that's what you should be using, but it's been working for me. And I've been getting, you know, consistently into that top 10, or at least... you know, bottom 15.
Yeah, I feel
15.
Like I'm either like 80th or I'm top 20. Like
exactly. That's what I mean. Exactly. And I'm usually with a top 20 finish, I'm okay with that because it's enough experience that I feel like I didn't waste the game.
No, same here. Did you know if you eat all the pellets in the map before resetting, I think, which is eating a fruit as well.
Eating a fruit maybe? Is resetting, yes.
Okay, if you happen to eat all the pellets and everything before doing that, you get a speed boost. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I didn't necessarily know that that was
It'll
a thing.
Say speed up or something.
But I've multiple times did that and have noticed my character. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I focused because I was curious. I was like, well, what happens if I eat all the pellets before reset.
Because it's also a stat that they track. They track like how many clear like board clears you've done or whatever.
Yep. So I did it, and then once you do it, like as soon as you eat that last dot, right next to your little Pac-Man guy, it says either speed up or speed boost or something.
How
like
long
that.
Does it last? I don't remember. It's not. Does it?
I don't
it's
know.
Not the whole game.
Are we sure?
It might be. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Maybe it says speed increase. Maybe it's not a boost.
Maybe it's an actual increase. Dude, that'd be awesome. I'd have to actually try to clear it more often. So that would be a different strategy.
Is there an advantage to doing that? Correct. That's what I'm saying. So here we are talking about these different strategies over Pac-Man, and I love that we're doing that.
And here's the funny thing is that it's not just Pac-Man, right? Because this style of game has worked with Tetris.
Yeah.
And this style of game has worked with Super Mario Brothers because this is the exact same setup that Nintendo has been using. I don't know who came up with it. Tetris was the first one. Tetris 99 was the first one.
Which is
so I don't know if it's the Tetris developers that should get credit for this or if it's Nintendo that came up with it and decided that Tetris would be perfect for it. So they went out there and got it. That's more likely to me. So I have a feeling Nintendo has really figured out how to do a Nintendo style battle royale. You have these, you know, because it just works and it's fun and they're not doing it with things that don't make sense. Tetris makes sense. With Mario, you were just playing through like, you know, levels 1 through 4 in sequential order over and over and over again, trying to do it faster and better. Whereas people, you know, as they did their own stuff and as they killed Goombas and as they stomped on the Koopas, they would appear in your screen and it just made sense. It worked. And with Pac-Man, it makes sense. So I really think that there's probably more IPs out there that this could work for. We're just not seeing it because we're not smart enough.
I want to request one if anybody is listening who creates this. I do. Dr. Mario. Could we not do this with Dr. Mario?
I think we could do this with Dr. Mario. Very much similar, obviously, in style to Tetris. And Dr. Mario World was a super popular mobile game that I loved.
Yeah, I played
the shit out of Dr. Mario World. I think because it was me, Frank, Kyle, and Sean that were all playing it, and I was, you know, by far putting the most time into it, and you know, I was getting up in like the world rankings of because I would spend like an hour or two kind of just laying in bed playing Dr. Mario World every day, almost like, you know, half hour in the morning, half hour at night, you know, type of a thing. Like I would be playing that game all the time. It was the only phone game that I was playing. So yeah, I think Dr. Mario would totally work for this. And there's probably other ones that would totally work for this too. And it's just so cool that, you know, this style of a battle royale is so fun. because I don't like traditional battle royales because, you know, they're shooters and that kind of stuff. But these are different styles of games, right? You're not just getting one different style of game. Tetris is not the same genre as Pac-Man, which is not the same genre as Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, as somebody who does play, you know, some battle, obviously battle royales, Apex and Warzone, I like this is just a break from, I don't know, that grind, and it's a little different. Games are a lot faster. I enjoy it. I loved Tetris. I didn't play too much of the Mario one, unfortunately, and it was, what, that's not around anymore, right?
I haven't tried to play it since. I don't know that you can still play it online. I still have it on my Switch because I had it downloaded, but I don't know that you can actually connect to it anymore. I don't know. I'll have to try, actually. I have not tried since they took them off the eShop.
All right, like I said, I love Pac-Man. I love this spin on it. When I saw the trailer for it, I was like, oh, shit, this is cool. And then, you know, I heard you talk about it last week, and I was like, all right, I have to try this out. So,
and yeah, I haven't bought anything yet either for it because they sell the, you know, the additional modes, the DLC packages that you can get. There's like a time attack mode, you know, the standard stuff that you can get access to. But the more interesting things to me are the themes. So you can change like what the boards look like and what the backgrounds look like, what the ghosts look like, what your Pac-Man looks like. It makes it like you're almost playing a different game. So instead of controlling Pac-Man around, you're controlling Dig Dug, like you said, or you're controlling, you know, all of these. Oh, man, there's so many different versions or skins that they have. And I don't even remember what most of them are, but they're not expensive. They're like $2 or $3 or something, right? Or maybe not even that expensive.
Well, I was going to say, can't you get them in like a package though?
I think you can get a package for like $10 or something, or $15.
Yeah, there's a paid deluxe pack and individual items available as downloadable.
$1.99. That's how much they are individual. I'm looking at it right here. The DLC pack for the deluxe pack is $29.99. And that gets you, I think, everything, right? And then is there one that comes just with the skins? Or can you... Yeah, no. So there's... Okay, so they sell the Pac-Man 99 mode unlock DLC for $14.99, which unlocks CPU battle mode, password match, score attack, blind time attack, and 8 Pac-Man arrangements. I don't know what that means. Maybe... different musics or different like tracks to listen to while playing the game, maybe?
Maybe,
I'm not sure.
Which is really good, by the way. The soundtrack is really good.
It is. It is. It's addicting. But it's the deluxe pack that comes with all the modes and then all the themes.
Okay.
So that's $30. Do I want to pay that? Whew, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, for $30, you could get Turnip and what was the other game?
Smelter.
Yeah, you could, for what's 15, so for an extra $5, you could get those two games.
Because I don't know that I care about the extra modes. I just want to play Pac-Man 99. But what I care about are these themes. And I don't care about all of them. I think I'm going to buy, I'm looking at them here on the shop. I think I want to pick up maybe Dragon Buster. Namco Classic 2 is kind of cool looking.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some that kind of, you know, definitely make me
like I said,
they
changed the look of the ghosts. They changed the look of the actual Pac-Man. Like, it's
I wonder if that
really
would mess you up. Do you think it'd mess you up?
I think it'd probably take a little bit of time to get used to.
Yeah.
I think I might even get the Galaga one. Because it would be fun to like kind of like fly around a spaceship in Pac-Man instead of being a Pac-Man.
I mean, they've definitely thought of it all, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's so cool. I definitely hope this keeps taking off because I would love to see, you know, other styles done in this fashion because it's worked for 3 so far and I can't see it not working for something else.
This website that I clicked on just to kind of see a review, Siliconera.
Okay.
They mentioned they recommend WarioWare for the next 99 version.
Oh my God, dude. That would be perfect.
Yeah, I didn't yet.
See, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. There's so many things that could work. That would be so fun doing like a barrage of mini games against like 98 other people. And just the last one. Oh, my God. If they haven't thought of it, I hope they do. And
the
if they haven't, I hope they hear this.
Again, Nintendo Online is only $20 a year, and you get this for free with Nintendo Online.
It's awesome.
It really is.
Yeah, it's super cool. So go download Pac-Man 99. I don't think that's this one doesn't have a stupid stipulation where it disappears after a while. But maybe you'll see Crazed 11 in your results screen somewhere.
Maybe see me get those dubs.
Or Brian LDG. That's my tag usually anywhere. So. That's usually me. But that music right there means we are going to do a little kickstart my heart before we do close this episode out. And I do have a fun one here that I think looks very intriguing. And I'm hoping it makes its goal because it's not quite there yet. It is a dark fantasy story adventure game based on the work of Mary Shelley's novel Frankenstein or the modern Prometheus. And the game is called Thy Creature. But we're going to start reading here under features with the story. The game deals with stories that were not fleshed out in detail from the original novel Frankenstein. In the book, the creature, created by Victor Frankenstein, disappears as it was abandoned by Victor, its own creator. This got the team thinking, where did the creature go? What did it do afterwards? And now, the players begin to come the creature and climb up an unknown tower to find its creator, Victor Frankenstein. What reality will the creature face at the top of the tower? So, the story of Thy Creature unfolds in a mysterious tower inspired by the attic of Victor Frankenstein, the very place he created the creature. Experience this unique dark fantasy setting that will draw you into the gothic world. And if you just look at, like, some of the imagery and stuff, dude, this game looks insane. Like, with some of the gifs and stuff that they understory, with, like, the eyeballs on the ceiling and stuff as they're staring at you. I'm definitely thinking this game's gonna have some dark undertones for sure. But it's gonna have this, like, bullet hell style gameplay that I absolutely love. And I think you're a fan
insane.
Of as well.
Yeah.
I think because Rezogun is a bullet hell. And I know you're a fan of that. And Nier oftentimes has a lot of bullet hell elements too. As the creature ascends this tower, it's going to face many memories from its past. And the memories are remaining traces of Victor Frankenstein intertwined like a maze. And it says sometimes the maze may show you the way, or sometimes it may attack you to stop the creature from ascending the tower. The memories the creature faces as it climbs up the tower are in fact the trauma of the creature's past. On each floor of the tower, there awaits a boss, which symbolizes the creature's trauma. And the creature must overcome this boss on each floor to keep ascending to the top of the tower to find the creator. So it's not perfect English here. I'm kind of picking and choosing what I read through.
Yeah.
It's not about what's obviously in English anyway. The actual game looks really cool in motion. And I just hope that enough people take interest in this because they're looking for $20,000 currently, and it's only sitting at about $4,500 with still 26 days to go. There's still time, but I'm not confident in that. So I definitely hope that this one will catch fire because it looks like it would be a lot of fun to play through. What do you think on this?
I'm trying to see what the average... Okay, so the average for per backer is $42. So, I mean, that's not bad.
No, so because they have a $49 package, which gets you your name in the credits, beta access, soundtrack, a badge, a metal badge, which I'm assuming is an actual thing, and then a copy of the game, obviously. Cheapest way to get a copy of the game would be the $15 tier, okay. Which gets your name in the credits, beta access, and the key.
I am very much interested in this.
I like the setting. Like I like the narrative that it's based on. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Like obviously I'm a big Halloween fan. I'm a big horror fan. That's why I worked at a haunted house for, you know, X amount of years. But I don't remember. I think it was 3 years, 4 years. I think I quit my fourth year. So I really hope that this game turns out to be fun and bullet hell sounds good to me. Like if they're going to be throwing those kind of elements in there, I'm just kind of picturing what they could do with some of the bosses. There's one gif where it looks like you're having to dodge like
it's
words
insane,
as they're flying at you diagonally. Like this game just looks really, really wacky, but I think it's going to have like some very trippy things and dark visuals going on too.
Yeah, that's what I like. Just the dark tone that it has, you know, just black, white, gray, not really any color. I think the words
outside of like the bullets or whatever. Yeah, whatever. being tossed at you, correct?
Yeah. No, I am very much, I will hit remind me on this to kind of see. The crazy thing is the tiers just go, once you go past 49, it's 149 and then 999.
Like, I know. And then 1999.
Yeah, like, wow, that's $2,000. No backers. There's no
Of course, no backers for the 1,000. There's 17 backers for the $150 tier, though. And yeah. That cushion might be the reason why. Neppy plushy cushion. I'm trying to find it here in the actual...
Yeah, I was trying to see, what does it look like? It's spending $149 for
a... Oh, dude, it looks pretty sweet. Like,
how far down is it?
Kind of far, near the bottom. I mean, it's kind of small, but I like the design of it. The badge is actually really cool, too.
Dude, it looks like a cotton ball with some...
I know! It looks funny!
20 centimeters by 20 centimeters. So what is that? What is it? 2.54 centimeters equal an inch? Is that... Am I right there?
So we're about the... Yeah, roughly the size of a cotton ball. You're not wrong.
It's literally... They took up a fucking... They took a bag of cotton balls and they're charging $150. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's... If that's what they did, brilliant.
I mean, yeah, their profit margins are through the fucking roof.
But I have a feeling... It's not that.
No,
right?
I mean it looks a little more. It looks soft.
20 centimeters is 7.8 inches.
Okay, so the size of my phone. I have the Note phone.
Yeah, so it's about
Okay. Okay. 20 by 20. Worth $149.
Probably not worth $149, but you're still getting a copy of the game. You're still getting your name in the credits. You're getting the soundtrack and that badge too. I mean, you know, it's clearly not $150.
Why not kick me a second key? I'd be more inclined to spend $149 if I was getting a second key.
And a cotton ball.
And a cotton ball.
Go check this out. Name of the game is Thy Creature, THY Creature, over on Kickstarter.com. I think this one looks really cool. Definitely different from some of the other ones that we talked about here before. It's always fun when we can find some different things to talk about on Kickstart My Heart instead of just farming simulations and life simulations. And those are typically what's on Kickstarter.
Yeah. I'm still kickstarted to a bunch of games. I'm still waiting to come out.
Beasts of Maravilla Island is like in June. I don't know if you saw.
No, I did. Yeah, but I don't have the... Was it Switch version?
I think it's probably PC that comes out in June, right?
Okay, that's what I thought. Because I'm pretty sure I have the PC version. I don't think I did any Switch versions.
Yeah, I can't imagine that you would have. But yeah, go check out Thy Creature. And Dan, that is going to bring us to the close of the episode this week.
Uh-oh.
And you, sir... You get those final words.
I don't know who this is from. It doesn't say.
Confucius. Confucius says.
No one is perfect. That's why pencils have erasers.
This episode of the Level Down Games podcast has been brought to you by LevelDownGames.com. Please remember to leave us a rating and a review regardless of where you're listening. If you want more of us, check out youtube.com/leveldowngames and make sure you subscribe with notifications on, as well as twitch.tv/leveldowngames, again, with notifications on. Links to where we can be found on social media, as well as to our Discord server, and all other important information can be found in the show notes for the episode.